opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And here we are back again on the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. This is your host, Rick Redding, very excited to bring you a show that I guess I've long looked forward to. I kind of stay away from sports figures for the most part. This show is about politics and media and culture and events and things that are going on in Louisville, Kentucky, and I'm excited to bring it to you each and every week. But this week's a special week. I have, in the second half of the show, you're going to want to stay tuned and believe me until the very end, because my guest is Matt Jones, the host of Kentucky Sports Radio. His voice is probably as well known as anybody's in the state, and he is getting ready for a big weekend at Fancy Farm. Believe it or not, a sports guy is acting as MC at the Fancy Farm political picnic in Western Kentucky this weekend. So you'll want to hear from Matt about what he has to say about that and a few other things, all coming up in the second part of the show. It's very, very good. But first thing I want to talk about is the Snelling Staffing Job of the Week. You know, each and every week we talk about some of the positions open. If you're looking for a job or need a job, if you're looking for an employee, Snelling Staffing it can help you in many, many ways. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some of the, instead of just one job this week, we're going to talk about several positions that are open. And so it's more likely that you might hear something that you or someone you know is qualified for. They have direct hire, full-time positions. These are full-time jobs, permanent jobs. They're hiring for Snelling Staffing. Electrical engineers, mechanical engineers, controls engineer, accounts payable, accounting supervisor, inside and outside sales, projects managers, and a plant manager. And if that's not enough, there are temp to hire positions over there for welders, a receptionist, warehouse, cherry pickers, customer service, a machinist, a CNC programmer, I should say. Sorry about that. So if you're looking for someone, or if you're looking or know somebody who's looking for a new opportunity, contact Snelling Staffing, 502-814-9800. And also, they have a medical division over there, so there's immediate openings for physical therapists and RNs at Snelling Staffing. You can contact Stephanie at 502-814-9800 to schedule an interview for those positions. So there you go. Really, I don't know. There's a lot of jobs out there, it seems like to me, and we seem to have a growing economy. All is going well. And speaking of all is going well, I guess the key line in my interview with Coach Jeff Rahm of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers was this one: it's an exciting time to be a Hilltopper. You'll hear Jeff say that early in our interview. The former Louisville Trinity High School quarterback, University of Louisville All-Star, All-American, went on to play in the NFL for several years and has established himself as a coach in a way that few have. Jeff is the author of an exciting brand of offense. I'm not an unbiased interviewer here. I'm a big fan of Western. I'm looking forward to going down to see them play Vanderbilt on September the 3rd. It's a Thursday night game. And a bunch of us old Hilltoppers and Pi Kappa Alpha fraternity members are going down there for that game. It's going to be great. The Western schedule, they've really got a chance to do something really special this year in terms of wins and losses, because I see one game on here that you're going to go into and they're going to be a big, big underdog. But they can beat Vanderbilt. They can beat Indiana, Louisiana Tech, Miami, Ohio, Rice, Middle Tennessee, North Texas. Oh, LSU at LSU. That'll be a big national game. It would be great if the Hilltoppers are undefeated going into that one. We'll see what happens. But I wanted to, you know, Jeff Rahm's been on a big media tour. You know, he's been at every TV station, every radio station in town this week. And I'll tell you, he's got it together. I really think that Western has a good coach there. We're on our way to good things. I also got to meet the quarterback, Brandon Dowdy, who has been mentioned, and not jokingly, as a Heisman candidate, because he operates Brahm's high-powered offense. He's put up big, big numbers. He's a great young man. I got a chance to talk with him for a few few minutes. Right before this big event they had on Tuesday night at BW3's in St. Matthews, where a bunch of Western fans were there, just very excited about the football season. So let's get right into it. Here's my interview with head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Brohm.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
And today I'm with Coach Jeff Brohm. We're actually out at BW3's in Louisville. Certainly you know your way around the city. You're on this media tour.
Yeah, you know what? It's been two good days of getting out into the community and getting around, getting showing our face and talking about Western Kentucky football. And it's an exciting time to be a Hilltopper. We're trying to promote our brand, and we're looking forward to people coming out and seeing us and hopefully watching us play this year.
Okay. Well, I'm a Western alum, so, we had some, 10-3 games when I was a student there under Coach Jimmy Fikes. So, your brand of offense, I'm sure it's just exciting to have this opportunity, right?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. You know, I'm an offensive guy, and we like to make things exciting and fun and enjoyable to watch, and that's important to us. We want to play an exciting brand of football, and our players like playing the style we play. We go at a fast pace, a high octane tempo. We're no huddle. We try to score a lot of points, and that's what our players like doing. So that's important to us. Now, we've got to get better overall as a team, but as far as offensively, I think we're heading in the right direction, and things are going pretty well right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you talk about extremes. Now, I watched the Marshall game last year on TV. That's an extreme, right? Are we going to score 70-plus points anytime this year?
Well, that was, without question, the biggest win in our program's history. For us to beat an undefeated team, a ranked team, a team that hadn't lost at home for 3 or 4 years was huge. And when you win it in that fashion, those are fun to play in and fun to watch. So, it wouldn't surprise me if we have a few more like this. I would love to have a 10-3 game or a 10-7 game. I don't think it'll happen. But I think if we work towards getting closer to that, we'll have a better football team.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a little bit about Western itself. And of course, the stadium's fairly new in terms of the way it's configured now. What was that? When you got the job in 2013 as an assistant, was that the first time you'd been to Western? Or
you know what? When I became an assistant there for Coach Petrino, the very first time I walked in the building, I was more than impressed. I mean, they have outstanding facilities. Our president, Dr. Ranzo, athletic director, Todd Stewart, they've done a tremendous job of really getting all the resources in line in order to build a program and to build a successful run at trying to move our way up the ladder. I think our stadium is perfect size. It's a great seat everywhere. We redid the turf last year. The home side is redone. All are mostly chairback seats in the middle of the stadium. Our suite level is nice. Really, it's a perfect venue. Our coaches' offices, locker room, training room, equipment room, weight room, all are top of the line. So we're excited about our facilities, and I think anytime we can get a recruit on campus, we feel like we can bring them to Western Kentucky.
Okay. Well, let me ask you about attendance there. I mean, certainly attendance, it's a step up from where you've been before you were in Division One, but still there's it hasn't been sellouts down there. What things are you doing to help bring the fans in?
Well, we're definitely, that's a work in progress. And I think the better your team becomes, the bigger conference you play in, the tougher non-conference schedule you have, the better higher-ranked teams you can bring into the stadium is going to help the cause. And I think also, you know, we want to do a good job of promoting our brand, not only in Bowling Green, but out throughout the entire state. And that's one of the reasons we're here in Louisville. We want people to come watch us play. You know, we have numerous weekday games this year that are on national TV that people can come watch. And I think if you do that, you'll enjoy it. But we want to encourage people to come see us. And I think each and every year, if we can gradually build the fan base, that'll help our program rise to an elite level.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'll tell you one thing that would help also, if you can get the Cardinals on the schedule. tell me where that stands, because I read something in the media today about it, but it's a few years off anyway.
Well, that's a goal of ours. I mean, I think that anytime you can create an in-state rival, it's huge. And, you know, Louisville's done a tremendous job. They're an elite program. They're the best program in the state. They have a chance to win a national championship every year. They've got great fan base, great facilities, outstanding players. And if we can get them on the schedule, I think it'll create a lot of excitement in the state. We'll create a top-notch rivalry that all the fans want to see, that they'll pay to watch, they'll come watch. And if we can ever continue to build the schedule with teams comparable or even close to Louisville, we'll bring the fans out.
Sure, sure. Well, we're here in Louisville. Let me ask you a little bit about your relationship with Coach Petrino. Obviously, you work with him, and your offenses are similar. You talk to him very often.
Yeah, you know, I've seen him at least a couple times this summer and in the spring, and you know, learned a lot from him. He's very detail oriented. There's never a stone unturned where he's at. He does a great job of getting the most out of his talent. I think you know, he's got the Louisville program rolling. Obviously, Charlie Strong did a great job and got it back on track. And now they're close to being at the very top. And you look at their season last year, three of their four losses, they barely lost. And they're close to being at the very top of the elite now that they're in the ACC. So he does a great job. Obviously, I had a great deal of the success of being around other great coaches as well. Coach Snellenberger, a lot of people in the NFL with the 49ers, Chargers, Tampa Bay, Denver, all those teams. And you learn a little bit from each person, and you try to mold it into your own style and your own name on it, so to speak. And, you know, I'm excited about what we're doing at Western.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's your second year as a head coach. You're putting your stamp on the program, I guess. How would you want people to describe your style as a coach?
Well, you know, I think I am a player's coach. I think that I do want to play an exciting brand of football. I think that's important. I think it's important to try to entertain the fans. And obviously, winning is the number one goal, but I want to be entertaining. I want to make it exciting for our players to play in, our fans to watch. I want it to be high scoring if we can on offense, and obviously defense is important to me as well, and I want to find a way to be a dominant defense. But you know, I want to make it fun. Football is a game, and we want to make it fun to play, fun to watch.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a little more about scheduling, because you know, number one, I want to thank you. Your first game at Western down in Nashville, when you guys just walked all over Kentucky, but a lot of those Tier 1 schools schedule schools like Western, you know, and for a payday and hopes of getting a big win. But now a lot of schools like Western, I guess, are getting closer to those guys. Would you say?
Well, I think we're trying to work our way up the ladder, up the food chain. And you know, there's a Power Five of conferences now that all have very competitive football teams. Obviously, a few are very elite, but the others are year in and year out, compete at a high level as well. They just have an extremely tough schedule. So if we can get some of those guys on our schedule, you know, I tell people all the time, where there's a lot of risk, there's a lot of reward. And if we can find a way to win a few of those games, that's going to make a bigger and better name for us, give us exposure, and no telling what can happen in the future.
Yeah, well, to the casual observer like me, it looks like this year your top five games are Vanderbilt and Indiana, sort of, I guess, much more winnable than, say, Auburn and Illinois or something.
Well, we do have those. We have LSU on the schedule as well.
Okay.
The year after, we have Alabama on the schedule. The year after that, we have Ole Miss on the schedule, and we're looking forward to getting Illinois once again. But, you know, if you can compete with those guys, if you can get in the fourth quarter with them, have a chance to win and find a way to win one or two, it really brings a lot of attention and notoriety to your program, and that's what we're looking to do.
Right. And what that also does, for guys like you that are coaches at schools like Western, it brings the attention of guys that want it. There's a head coaching vacancy at Alabama or a school like or Tennessee or a school like that. At this point, I'm sure you don't think that far out, but you think you're at Western for a while?
Well, you know what? I've gotten that question a little bit lately. I really love Western Kentucky. I think that, we're very similar to Louisville was 20 years ago, where we're trying to build a program. We're trying to create something basically from the ground up and establish a new tradition and try to get better and rise to the top every year. So this is exciting to me. I got to play for Coach Snellenberger, and he was the master of developing programs. And once he would develop one, he moved to the next one and develop it. And take risks. So I think this is a great place to become a better football coach, to do it in a state that I love, to do it around people I know, and to really bring a lot of attention to football in this state, create a name for Western Kentucky throughout the nation. And I want to stay at Western and try to help do that.
Okay. Lastly, I want to ask you about your family. Of course, I just talked to Greg. He's on your staff down there at Western, and you're the, I guess, first football family in Kentucky. I guess you're so close with Brian and all that. How's he doing?
Well, things are going well. We've definitely, our close family, my brothers, our director of football operations does a great job, very smart. He's excellent at organizing and planning and building relationships with people, and he really loves what he does and does a tremendous job. Brother Brian's still playing football in the CFL right now, trying to have a little fun with it, which he should do. And then I have a sister that works here in town, and she's an avid sports fan as well, very athletic, runs marathons. And my mom and dad are healthy, so that's good. We have a lot of fun with it. We enjoy going to our games. We enjoy going to Louisville games, Kentucky games. We enjoy going and watching the bats. So all those things. We're just a sports family. We like to do things, and we like to see people do well and succeed. And I think, the Louisville fan base in general is a huge fan base. It's a great college sports town. And I think the state of Kentucky is eager for maybe one more program to jump in the mix.
All right. Well, let's hope Western does that. I hope you have a good year this year.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
All right. So I really feel fortunate to have gotten a chance to speak with Coach Jeff Brohm over at BW3s this week. By the time you listen to this or hear this, I'm very excited, as you can probably tell. I will be down in New Orleans, Louisiana, the Nawlins, where I will be having some fun with Paula, who's never been there. I have darkened the street, the Bourbon Street, several times, including a couple of years ago when I went down to see Nick at Thanksgiving. But my son, Nick, who you remember was a guest here on the Rusty Satellite Show the last time he was home, he has landed a wonderful opportunity in Italy, believe it or not, Italy, to study. He's involved in the theater industry and is involved in the performing arts. And I'm so proud of him. And he is leaving New Orleans. He's coming back here for a few weeks before hitting, going out of country. He's going to Italy. May be gone for 3 years. So, hopefully I'll be able to schedule a vacation over to Italy. It's enough just to follow him around to the places he goes. He lived in Colorado, he lived in Washington State, and now New Orleans. While we're down there, we're staying in an Airbnb location right near the French Quarter. I'm very excited about that. Airbnb has just been wonderful to me. I got somebody staying in my house right now, so I'm making money as we speak. And looking forward to bringing Nick back and spending some good quality time with him and with Paula in New Orleans. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Can you imagine? I want to mention real quick another one of our sponsors here on the Rusty Satellite Show. It is Louie's Authentic Troy Style Pizza. Speaking of my sons, I just made a reservation up there for their back room. I'm going to have 25 people there for my son Josh, who's 23. He's getting married on October 10th. So that's going to be a big event. The rehearsal dinner is going to be up there on Friday night at Louie Louie's. Very excited about that, and so is Josh and Sarah. And we just couldn't be happier that all this is going on in our lives, and that we have a great place right up the street here in Jeffersontown, Louie Louie's Authentic Detroit-Style Pizza. Great food, great atmosphere, and sometimes some great music. So anyway, that's what's going on there. This is the point in the show where I talk about some of the things that are going on. As you know, I used to be a world-famous blogger and wrote about things going on in the city, especially in media, in the world of media. And there was a small controversy this week that had I been blogging about media the way I used to, I would have been all over this story. But they had a press conference at regarding the Omni project. It was put on by the mayor's press office. And the odd thing about the press briefing that they sent out to media to get them to show up said basically no cameras are allowed in this meeting, but we'll provide images of the new design on along 3rd Street. Well, you know, the media don't like being told they can't have their cameras there. Why, you know, why show up if you can't have video or even still cameras? I'm still miffed, or not really miffed, just shocked that they would put out such a such a directive. So the one that jumped into the fray on this was the news director at Wave 3, Bill Shorey, and he posted an editorial basically criticizing the city for having such a banning cameras at a press briefing, of all things. I mean, it's a crazy idea. I mean, I'm trying to think of something similar. It'd be like you know, you can't ban beer at an outdoor party in the city of Louisville. You know, it's just ludicrous that they would do that. So basically, after the editorial on Wave and a bunch of people on Facebook jumped on this story, the mayor's office backed off. And Chris Pointer, a good friend of mine who's the press aide to the mayor, basically admitted, we should have allowed cameras to record the media briefing, which is exactly the right thing to do. You realize you make a mistake, you admit the mistake, and the story goes away in fairly short order. So I guess that's what happened with the Wave story, although there's a lot of interest in that thing on Facebook and some other places. So I just thought I'd mention that was going on. It's nice to see anyone in the public arena admit they did something wrong, right? The other media story I wanted to tell you about, basically I had a meeting with Insider Louisville this week. I have, as you may know, I don't have a byline there, but I'm a contributor with the sponsored content from Passport Health Plans, and also a sponsor of the Rusty Satellite Show. And I was talking with those folks down there. They are growing like you wouldn't believe it. They've got nearly 20 employees. They've grown out of their space right down there in Nulu and are moving. And this may be a scoop or something for the Rusty Satellite Show. I don't know, but they're moving down. I was told it was down to 5th Street. It is down in an old bank building where they're going to have a lot more space and a lot more room to expand, and hopefully a lot more stuff going on with Insider Louisville. In fact, they unprecedented. Who would have thought a few years ago they hired away a reporter from Business First? And you know, there's not much competition for reporting talent, I wouldn't think. But to go and hire a reporter from another station. That's rare in this town. And most famously, about a couple of years ago when WDRB purged the Courier-Journal of several reporters and their main sports personalities, Eric Crawford and Rick Bozich. Well, I don't know. Well, Insider Louisville, they're being very successful. So I encourage you to, if you don't already know about Insider Louisville and not reading it, you know, tune in there. So that's a big story in the world of media. It seems like something new every week in media. It makes me wish I was still blogging. But anyway, the big national story, I guess it affects people around here, and I just think it's ludicrous. The big flap over the Boy Scouts and they're letting in gay leaders. They're allowing the National Boy Scout organization said, okay, we're not going to ban gay people from being involved in the Scouts anymore, which is great. But then they took a step backwards when they said, okay, but if the Scouts meet at a church, the church has the right to disband the troop. And like the Mormons jumped in on this, and of all people, and said, you know, they might, you know, put an end to scouting, end to the sponsorship of scouting by these religious facilities who object to the whole gay thing. And, you know, I'm sure there's not that many people involved in this, but it's one of those big national stories. And, you know, I think people are just going to eventually realize that the discrimination against gays is not going to gain you any popularity. It's very unpopular. And, of course, most of the media and everybody comes out very strongly opposing such discrimination. So we'll see if the Boy Scouts continue to go by that policy. I did want to mention one other local story about media, and I always like to do this. Ohio Valley region hands out Emmy Awards for this. This is a competition like Emmy, like the real Emmys, but competitions between news stations throughout the state. And it's highly competitive considering that only a few stations are able to compete. Louisville stations compete with Lexington and other markets around the state and try to get awards for stories. And like the all-time king of getting awards for his reporting is John Bowl, who has been a guest on this show. I think I saw where it said he has like 80 something Emmys now. He won a couple this time. He did a story on the he got an award for the story on the Ironman competition, and also got a some other. What else did he get? Anyway, John Bowl is the guy. He's the king of awards, and he did a story on a school zone crack house. That's what it's called. John Bowl did that story, and I always kid him. I say, well, you're just good at doing the applications for the awards, because that's a lot of times that's what it's about. It takes a lot of work to put all that stuff together, but he does it well. He's got it down, and he always seems to win. Another notable that has experience on the Rusty Satellite Show, Glenn Haygood, as the general manager at WLKY-TV. He got a special achievement for overall excellence for that station. And some other familiar names, some of the top reporters in this town, Eric Flack of Wave, was named the composite best reporter in the city, followed closely by Gilbert Corsi over at WDRB. And so anyway, they had those Emmys, and you know, it's a good thing for people in the media to get awards. It makes them work harder, and so it's a good thing. Now, let's switching gears, we're going to get back to sports now and talk about UK a little bit as we get ready for Matt Jones. But first, I just really encourage you to go see this story. I continue to say today, in my past, I was I worked for Jim Host of Host Communications in Lexington. I was editor of the Kentucky Game Programs, and fortunately, when I was there, Rex Chapman was on the team, and Rex was just he's the best college player I think I've ever witnessed in person, and he was fun to watch. He could leap, but he could shoot, he could do it all, and he went on to have a great 12-year career in the NBA. And then last September, if you remember, he got in the news because he was videotaped stealing from an Apple store in Phoenix, and nobody could really understand why. He made like $30 million as an NBA player. But Rex's life had tumbled downhill based on his addiction to painkillers, and he has a very unfortunate story about Rex, but as a result of his arrest and everything, the story in Sports Illustrated by Seth Davis, urge you to Google that. Rex has sort of turned it around. He's not like working, but he is off the pills. He was never addicted. He was never a drinker. He never did weed or anything like that, but he was addicted to pain pills and OxyContin, and just an example of the kind of hold that thing can get on you, an addiction like that. And it's good to see Rex is hopefully through that and turning it around, and maybe he'll, you know, get back in basketball in some capacity, some way. After he retired, I think in 1998, he was an NBA executive for several teams, but then, you know, he fell into this downward spiral of his dependence on pain-killing drugs. So, anyway, I just point that out. I think Rex, you know, is really a cool story, somebody that the state can be proud of. I learned a lot in reading the story about Seth Davis. So there you go. So, all right, UK. Now, many of you are in Louisville, and so you love to hate this guy, Matt Jones. He tells it like it is, and he is not very complimentary of anything having to do with the University of Louisville. He's especially harsh toward the top coaches, Rick Pitino, Bobby Petrino, and he is harsh, you know, he is critical of things having to do with the Yum Center. Matt is very opinionated, he speaks well, and he is an unabashedly in love with the University of Kentucky athletic program, and which is all well and good, and might not have ever motivated me to invite him on the show, but a month or two ago, the people organizing the Fancy Farm political picnic in Western Kentucky, the biggest political event of the year, it's coming up this weekend, first weekend of August, they invited Matt Jones, of all people, to be the MC of the event. And Matt had done a few interviews, political interviews on his show. He has arguably the largest audience in the state on radio, and he jumped at the chance. I think you'll really enjoy my conversation with Matt, and stay tuned till the end. I'll tell you, he has some opinions on our mayor and one of our leading opinion makers on television. You'll see what I mean in the interview coming up right now with Matt Jones.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
All right, today I'm with Matt Jones, who I guess is really one of the most recognized voices in the state of Kentucky. Matt, welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show.
Well, I appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Well, I know everybody knows about your UK stuff. I wanted to talk to you, first of all, about politics. Mm-hmm. And you got a big weekend coming up down at Fancy Farm. Tell me how that came about.
Well, you know, we did last year a couple of interviews with Allison Lundgren Grimes and Mitch McConnell for the Senate race. And then that sort of allowed me the leverage to bring all the gubernatorial candidates for the Republican governor's debate. And when it happened, the Jamie Comer story broke like 2 days before. So a lot of people, I think, paid attention and they didn't think I screwed it up too badly. And so then all of a sudden I was in the middle of all this political stuff, which was not something I necessarily saw coming. And then they asked me to do it. I think their goal was to try to open it up to a new audience of people. And that's what I think happened with that debate, is that a lot of people who would have paid no attention to the process right. heard it. And I guess that's what they're hoping for here.
Yeah, and I think it also made news because you weren't afraid to take these politicians on and ask them tough questions. Which
yeah, well, you know, look, I'm in sports. And when you have to cover a coach every day, you got to be careful what you say to them, because you're going to have to see them the next day. I think a lot of political reporters fall into that same, I don't want to say it's trap, but like they got to be careful because they got to keep seeing them. You know, I don't have to see these people anymore. And so I don't mind asking them hard questions. And the other thing is, you know, everybody knows me for sports, but I went to law school and I was in mock court, like moot court. And I loved it. And between me and you, I was pretty good at it. And so
I can imagine.
So I think you learn that, like, Socratic back and forth, and I like to do it with politicians because that's what I really enjoy arguing. But I don't mean arguing like screaming at each other.
Right.
I mean like taking a point and dissecting it, and that's what I try to do with that.
Because I'm guessing, you know, we're going to have Bevin and Conway down there. You're not like already on the side of one of them, right?
No, I mean, I mean, to be quite frank, I'm a Democrat, and although I care less about party than just, I tend to be sort
right.
of more progressive. But at the same, for that role, I don't think nobody wants me to be there to be for one of them.
Right.
For me, for that, I'm probably just trying to be entertaining. But when I interview them, my goal is to sort of dissect their opinions. I think if you listen to my interviews with Mitch McConnell and Allison Lundgren Grimes, I was actually harder on Allison Lundgren Grimes than I was Mitch McConnell because, you know, that's just how it played out. But no, I don't really care who wins mm-hmm. because I honestly don't think either one of them there would be a huge difference if they mm-hmm. won. I think they're very different people. But I think the state kind of runs in such a way that nothing major would
okay.
change.
Now, let me ask you a little question about Fancy Farm. I've never been, but I've heard a lot about it. Have you been?
I've never been. I've seen it on TV some,
yeah.
but I've never been. I mean, I hear people are heckling and yelling. I've never talked to that many people in one setting with 10,000 people watching you, so
yeah.
I'm a little nervous about that. But otherwise, it should be all right.
Well, I think your radio audience is bigger than that. So
but it's different because you can't see them.
That's right.
Like, there's a difference
like
between... Exactly. There's a difference between... Like, when I do remotes and people are out there, you have to remember that the people you see... There's a lot more people listening. So you can't only play to the people you see. I think what happens at Fancy Farm, and this happens to politicians, they talk to the audience and they forget what's being projected to TV. So,
right.
like, what was it? Many years ago, Scotty Basler. He was,
yeah.
like, yelling. And the audience was loving it. But on TV, with the audience cut out, he kind of looked like he was crazy.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful about that that's not your audience, just the people you see.
Do you expect to engage with these guys down there? Or, I mean, I know you're going to introduce them, but...
I mean, I'll talk to them, I hope, unless they ignore
yeah.
me. I think Mitch McConnell doesn't like me. But other than that, I think the rest of them, I don't think they have any reason to dislike me. So, I mean, Matt Bevin, I think, won the race because of the debate on our show. So he better not dislike me. I mean, I think
there you go.
I think Hal Heiner did himself in when he was here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's switch gears here. You've been on I was looking online at all the places you've been. You're like going every day to a different part of Kentucky.
Yeah, 36 yeah. stops around the state. You know, we have 34 affiliates, and then we're going to the governor's mansion and then to Fancy Farm. So 36 stops, and I love it. It's great. You get to go out and see people and travel the state. And once I go to Fancy Farm, I will have been in every county in this state except one.
Wow.
Over the course.
And what's the holdout?
Fulton
County.
Because it's so out there. And I'm going to go just to say that I've been at some point.
What is, I mean, going out there and like spending your whole summer, you know, driving to all these places, I mean, that's a lot different than sitting in the studio doing your show.
A lot different. Yeah. But what helps, first of all, because it gives you something to talk about. So like the summer's dead for sports in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So it gives you something else to do. But also, listen, I really love the state. I mean, you get like, you know, the city of Louisville all the way to Manchester, you know, to Fancy Farm. I mean, this state is one of the more diverse geographically and culturally in the country, and you see that when you spend a whole time going.
Well, that's a nice way of saying something else about all those people out there, but I understand.
No, I mean that. Like, don't get me wrong. There, I know it's a cool thing to do, especially in Louisville, for people to sort of to thumb their nose at the rest of the state. I think the people in the rest of the state are awesome. Now, they're different, some of them, but if you try to connect with them, I mean, think about it like this. I'm a liberal guy with my biggest audiences in the most conservative parts of the state. Can you think of another liberal guy on the radio who could be successful in Kentucky?
Right. I don't understand your popularity with these guys. I mean, with your audience is really phenomenal. But I want to ask you a different thing. Is you seem to really bring out the anger in the other side a little bit.
Well, that's again politics, right? Like, think about who has been successful in political media. It's now people who take a side. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's always been a fallacy that you could be neutral in journalism. I've always thought that's a fallacy. Now, that doesn't mean you should make up facts. The problem we have right now in the media is people just make stuff up. But as long as the facts are correct, I don't think there's anything wrong with reporting those facts with a bias. So, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh on the one side, Rachel Maddow on the other side, I just said, why not do that in sports? Mm-hmm. This city has forever tried to have people play both sides. But, like, take Jock Sutherland, who was on the air here at WHS.
Yeah,
he is a Louisville fan, but he would try to do a show about both teams. Stop it. We know you're a Louisville fan. All right, stop it. You know, these folks like Pat Forty and Rick Bozich, they like Louisville or Indiana. They hate Cal. Stop trying to act otherwise. So I'm just saying, look, I love Kentucky. I can't stand Louisville. I'll do the show like that, and then everybody at least knows where I'm coming from.
Right. Well, you know, whatever the argument is against Rick Pitino, you're going to have it, right?
It's not whatever's against it. Let's be objective for a second. I think sometimes Louisville fans don't take a step back and think about what their coach did that they accepted. He had sex with a woman in a restaurant while he was the coach of a team. There are maybe like three places in America you could keep a job like that, and this happened to be one of them. And then Bobby Petrino left this school, went and had what he had happen in Arkansas, gets in a motorcycle wreck, gets beat up, whatever, and then they bring him back. I find that hilarious, and yet a lot of Louisville fans are like, well, of course that's normal. It's not normal.
That's what you can get away
if tomorrow John Calipari went to Porcini's and had sex with a woman. You think he'd keep his job?
I guess as an observer, I would say as long as he didn't lose two games in a row.
Oh, dude, there's no way he would keep his job. The places I've been in this state, you think they'd be like, get him out of here. But at Louisville, we just look the other way.
That's funny. Huh? All right. Well, I want to give our listeners a little idea. But you mentioned law school. Duke, I believe, is
yes.
Right. So you must get some grief about that. But you didn't start out studying journalism, want to be a guy on the radio.
I went to law school at Duke. I practiced law. I was clerk for three federal judges. And then I went and practiced in Louisville at Frost, Brown, Todd, started my own place. You know, I did the blog as like a – I started a blog as kind of a hobby, mm-hmm. and it slowly got popular. And then there came a point where I kind of had to choose. You know, I was spending so much time on the website. My legal career was suffering, and I couldn't do with the website what I wanted because I had to work so much in the law. So you just had to make a choice, and I decided to do this.
Yeah.
And
what year did you do that?
Well, my 10-year anniversary of the website is September 15th, and my 5-year anniversary of the radio show is September 1st. And when I did radio, that's when I quit law. So I'm 5 years out of practicing law.
Wow. Kind of a good move, I guess.
It is now, but when I did it, it was risky. Look, Frost, Brown, Todd, they're great people. I hated corporate law.
Yeah.
But that's a good job.
You invested a lot of money in it.
Exactly. It's a good job. It was a lot of money. And to turn all that over to go into radio seems really stupid. But in hindsight, it's worked out. But, you know, at the time, I didn't know if it would.
And in the beginning, you weren't like I'm guessing, I can't quite remember, you weren't like accepted on the UK game broadcast, right?
Not at first. I got on the pregame pretty early, but I wasn't like doing the games. But, you know, we were on the air my first year. My first full year, we were on only in Louisville. Okay, I wasn't on anywhere else. And it got some popularity, but it didn't really like, it's not like we came out of the gate and exploded. Mm-hmm. But then after about a year, we kind of found our groove and started adding affiliates. And it became a critical mass. We've always used the internet well. That's something that, you know, you do podcasts, you understand this. Podcasts were big for us too. You know, before I went on the radio, I did like 3 years of podcast. And those podcasts meant when I started on the radio, there was a built-in audience of people who would listen to the podcast.
Okay, well, I'll take that advice. Maybe after another year of this, I've been doing this too. So next year,
do you enjoy it?
I really have a good time with it. It's you know, only one show a week. But
the good thing about podcast, well, first of all, to me, if you're good on radio, that's the most pure form of media because you can't hide on radio. You can hide on TV. You can hide writing. You cannot hide on radio. You are what you are. All right. Secondly, podcasts are even more intimate because you don't have to be like, "Hello, everybody. I'm blah blah blah." Like. So if I've always thought if a person puts out a good podcast, you can't do that and not be talented. So, you know, that's a compliment to you.
Okay, well, I hope so. Maybe when you hear it, you might think, but no, it's really great. You know, I've been doing it 107 shows, every one a week for.
Who's the most interesting person you've had?
Well, besides you, I had a musician, Paul Thorne, on.
Okay.
He was really great.
And who's the least interesting person?
Oh, I can't say that.
Yes, you can. Of course you can.
We had I had some medical people. Because this show is about sports, politics, media, artists, singers, songwriters, everybody that's in Louisville. So it's really about.
Have you had the mayor on?
Yes.
He's very uninteresting.
I remember when he ran, I said, well, he's got to do something about his speaking because he was horrible at first. He's improved, if you can believe it.
He and I really had it out at a show once. That was one of my first real confrontations. We did a show from a grand opening of a Subway, and I guess he was there to like cut the ribbon. And his advisor was like, "You want to have him on?" And I said, "Sure." And he came on, and I said, "Why won't you let UK play in the Yum Center?" And I said, "Why did you allow U of L to sign such a terrible deal for the city of Louisville?" And he was like, "Well, then the show ended, and he let me have it." And he was like, "You shouldn't ask questions like that." And I looked at him and I said, "Well, then you shouldn't be mayor if you can't take questions like that." And so we didn't get off to a really good
Yeah, well, I know. Like, I'll bring up one more, and we got to wrap it up. But you and I had a conversation. You probably don't remember, but you had a big confrontation with Bill Lamb.
Oh, I think he's the worst. He's a buddy of yours, though, right?
Not really a buddy. No, he hadn't been on the show.
Like me for the dumbest of reasons, which was when I was a lawyer, I had to sue WDRB. It wasn't because I thought they were bad people. It was just a lawsuit. And he has never gotten over that. And
there's more to the story. Okay.
Yeah. And I just want to say to him, like, man, look, that was business. And it was not even this job. Plus, I think he's sort of a putz, you know, because he gets on TV and he's like, "I'm Bill Lamb, and that's my point of view." Like, anyone cares what his point of view is. So, hi, Bill Lamb. I hope you're doing
well. All right. Well, this is all fun. I do have to wrap it up. Fancy Farm is this weekend, and where can people?
Well, you can find out. Well, I'm on here in Louisville on Talk Radio 1080 AM from 10 to noon, KY Sports Radio on Twitter, and on Fancy Farm. I will spend most of my time at Fantasy Farm making fun of Rand Paul because he's not coming. And since he's, like, not coming, it'll be a lot easier to talk about him since he's not there. So that's probably what I'll spend most of my time doing.
All right. We'll look forward to that. Matt Jones, like I said, 1080 every day on the radio, talking all about UK.
All right. Thanks.
All right, so there's Matt Jones. He does not hold anything back. I really enjoyed getting to know Matt and talking with him. I really agree with this stuff about the bias in the media. I've always sort of felt a little, I don't know, that's why I was, I guess, successful in blogging. I really like to tell people how I feel about stuff rather than just reporting what happened. But so anyway, that was my interview with Matt Jones. Hope you enjoyed it. Before I let you go, I want to talk about a couple of other things. And this is just some things as I am enjoying my time in New Orleans. I hope you're listening while I'm there. I just wondered, I just came across something. Every once in a while you come across something on Facebook that really, really affects you. And many of you in the media know I always talk about media people. Troy Roebuck, morning radio guy for 28 years, it says. He posted this thing on Facebook where, you know, it's just like a combination of things have gone wrong in his life. His wife has left him. He doesn't have a place to live. He doesn't have a job. His house is in foreclosure. He has a health problem with an embolism. And the guy sounds like he just needs a good break. And I don't know if me talking about it on here will help, but it, you know, if you can use a guy, if you have any ideas to help Troy Roebuck out, I'd love to be a part of getting him back on track. And maybe Snelling Staffing can come up with something. I may have Paula get in touch with him. And just those of you who probably grew up listening to Troy Roebuck in the mornings, he's having a little bit of a hard time right now. I'm hoping for the best for him. I've met him just a couple times, but you know that's going on in the media. So anyway, this weekend, a lot of the news will be coming out of Fancy Farm, where Matt Jones will be. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Matt Bevin and Jack Conway down there. I'm trying to get both of those guys to be on the Rusty Satellite Show in the future. And so I think Matt Jones will make that thing a lot different atmosphere. It'd be interesting to see if somebody heckles him. And surprising to see he's a little bit nervous about talking to so many people at one time, live and in person. In it's down there by Paducah. That's where Fancy Farm is. It's a long way from here. Remember my pal Mark Heber used to go every single year down there, and it's quite the political theater. So anyway, that's what's going on. I'm going to wrap it up here. I'll tell you that when I come back, I'm looking for it. I'm coming back Sunday because one of my top five favorite musical artists, Lyle Lovett and his large band, are playing the Kentucky Center on Sunday. I somehow managed to get tickets on the front row. So look for me there. If you get a chance. I really wanted to have Lyle on this show. Couldn't work that out, especially with my New Orleans trip. But you know, maybe someday I'll get him on. You know, he'll have a hard time being as good as Paul Thorne was when he was on the show. One of my other musical heroes was on the show. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. My sponsors, always want to mention Passport Health Plan, my friends at Louis, Authentic Detroit Style Pizza, and Snelling Staffing, where my wonderful girlfriend Paula works. So that'll do it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed it hearing from head coach Jeff Rahm of Western Kentucky and from Matt Jones. Until next week, we'll be back with the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city. Time.